Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue. Let me introduce our panelists to you and then invite you to join us as well. In this hour, we'll start off with an open discussion of issues in the news and beyond. It is our roundtable panel. Joining us for the discussion, WAMC's Alan Shartok. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, Joe.
How are you?
Oh, just great.
Excellent.
I'm a recovering grandfather.
Good. You still have that glow. That's great.
Yes, you do.
Yes. You'll have that for as long as the... Well, none of us are grandparents here, right?
No,
you should never lose the glow, do you? The grandparent glow?
I don't know.
There's so much great stuff about being a grandparent that I'm just really beginning to understand. And that is that, it really is know your problem.
Right. You can give them back.
Right.
Love them.
Number one.
Spoil them. Right.
You can help all you can.
Right.
Because even now in these early stages, when you have that beautiful child
especially.
In your hands,
oh my God.
And he starts to cry, you can say, oh, here.
No,
you should probably take
it. Well, if you know Roselle, she would never hand anything, a baby back to anybody. She could get away with it. But the truth of the matter is that, you're breastfeeding, you're this, you're that.
Well, you're not.
No, she is.
That would be odd.
It's really overwhelming. It's an overwhelming time. As you know,
exciting.
Five times.
Exciting, though. Gosh. Good for you. Congratulations.
Well, and speaking of glow, you still have a glow as a dad. Ray Graff is our newsman.
Glow because I stood out in the rain for 3 baseball games on this weekend. I'm just warming up now.
I know. It was very cold, very wet.
Yeah.
No fun. And Libby Post is here, a political consultant extraordinaire and our dear friend, and it is wonderful that she is with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
On this Monday, as she is on most Mondays. Thank you very much for being here. We should note that we were expecting Rosemary to be back. We got an email from her late Saturday and then early Sunday that she's stuck in a plane. So she'll be back, hopefully tomorrow. we'll see. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. And let us talk about Russia. Let us talk about Ukraine and what is happening. President Obama says more sanctions are coming against Russia. And the president is in Manila declaring that Russia was continuing to bully and threaten Ukraine. Said that the U.S. would impose additional sanctions on Russian individuals and entities, as well as freeze some exports of military technology. The announcement during a visit by Mr. Obama to the Philippines was widely expected. Last week, the president said that the sanctions were teed up and were being delayed only by technical issues and the need to coordinate with the European Union. I think we've talked about this from the very beginning, Alan, about sanctions and how important or unimportant they are. I don't know. Initially, there's the first round, and now we're where we are here. Is it still posturing, or does it really mean something? Does it really have an effect on Russia?
Well, one of the things I love about our panel so much is that we've discussed virtually every aspect of this so far, over and over again. Now, what's so fascinating to me is we're as good as anybody at this.
We can make it up just like anyone else can.
I mean, what we don't know is the important thing here. We don't know what the CIA is telling the president in his morning briefing anymore, whether the tanks are revving up, on the border. We don't know what the spies are telling him and whether this aggravated, and I just mean increased move to do more sanctions is the result of information that he has that the rest of us don't have. But you mentioned something, Joe, in passing, and that is there he is in the Philippines. And there's this major announcement coming out of the Philippines, which is directly...
Our next story.
Yeah,
yes.
Which is directly related to this, which is that you got Russia feeling its muscles and China with Japan, and now the Philippines, saying, welcome back, United States. We kicked you out, but China's come along and taken some of our shoals away from us. And the only way that's going to stop is if you've got troops here. And so you got China. It has all kinds of bad problems right now. You've got the Russians who have their own obvious good reasons for doing it bad. I think I saw a piece in the paper the other day that said, it looked like they might come over. And then I saw something in the New York Times yesterday that said, no, the negatives outweigh the positives, for this. So is it possible? And I ask you this, panel, is it possible? We know as much as the New York Times does.
Yes.
I think that's very possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just can tell it more often, but, and keep reprinting the same things.
Well, it gets down to speculation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it becomes a guessing game as to what the next step is. A 10-year agreement between the U.S. and the Philippines that would give American warships and planes extended access to bases in Manila. As Alan mentioned, this is we had a tough relationship with them at one time. We were kicked out, and now as issues with China evolve and erupt, then we're brought back into the equation, which I assume helps both, right? Obviously, it helps the Philippines.
Well,
what does it do for us?
BOTG. It's exactly what we want to avoid now, which is boots on the ground.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
If something happens, there they are.
Right.
By the way, they've been there before when bad things have happened. I want to remind all of them.
Right. I will return.
I'm sorry.
I don't think that this is necessarily a bad thing. I know all the people out there who think I'm
warmonger.
A really livered liberal and against all this. We need some strategic locations around the world, and this is one place that is very strategic. And, I've been seeing people talking about the need for Asia, certain factions in Asia looking for American leadership, wanting us to...
Pacific Rim.
Right, to have...
Strategy.
A presence there to protect them. Because, if China or Japan go to war, which was the other headline this weekend, but it would be a short strategic war, which is
right.
An oxymoron, we're going to need... Other folks are going to need to be... to have their interests protected who do not have large military.
Well, we've told Japan
and the world
that if it happens, we're with the Japanese.
Well, this is true. But nonetheless, the other countries there need to feel that they can be safe in all of this as well. All of it comes down to economics.
I think it's interesting the way the White House is couching this. Here's what they say. This is... they are staying neutral in these territorial disputes. Ostensibly, they are staying neutral. However, they say this is all about to prevent proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, to fight transnational crime, and improve the delivery of aid after typhoons and other natural disasters. There is no mention of the geopolitical situation. It's just interesting the way the government would couch this move.
Yeah, well, what do you think it means? I mean, I think it means we know what it means. We know...
Why not say it then?
For whatever reason, these people do what they do, and it's beyond me. But I can see the midnight oil, being burned in the White House as they decide which word to use.
Well, doesn't if you say we're putting as you said, boots on the ground? If we're going to do this to engage in some sort of or to consider some sort of military strategy, doesn't that up the ante where it doesn't necessarily have to be upped at this particular time?
Well, in their opinion, it does have to be upped at this particular time, which is if you catch it early, you don't have to do what we've been caught sort of...
No, but I mean flashy. To Ray's point of not including it in the statement.
Yeah, well, I just don't think the statement by itself means that much. I think everybody gets it. Everybody gets where we are. And what the intentions of the United States are. From the very beginning, for example, we had to eat a little dirt on the Taiwan situation, right? We say, okay, we're only recognizing China, but if you go near the Taiwanese We're going to get you. That has been understood. That was sort of the unspoken as opposed to the spoken. And then you got to consider all of that. And, you know, those little meaningless islands off of China and Japan, those are hardly anything, a bunch of rocks. But they do represent the next step, the next foot forward.
The next domino.
Yeah.
To hail back to that.
To you know what.
Right.
Which we don't mention, the great unmentionable.
Right.
But where are things... yeah. Here's my I don't know. This seems like a hopeless question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So like, where are things good? I mean, we're looking at China. We've got Ukraine, Moscow. It seems
Allen's
as though
house
every,
right now.
Yeah, that's
things
right.
Are really good.
Yeah, things are
that's
good.
That's right, and that's true. Ray's house and Allen's house, Libby's house, yeah. Joe's house. I mean, you know, it's all good till it's not good, until somebody makes a hell of a bad move, and then. Considering everything, I was watching 60 Minutes up past my bedtime last night, which is 7. Yeah,
7?
It was good last night.
It was
very
good.
Well, they
very
had
good.
This thing about the missiles.
Right.
You know, and
the
little mistakes
that
got
rust.
Made in the 60s.
I know.
Somebody dropped a wrench down the silo, right. And we almost had a world war.
Right.
You know,
it
I mean.
Gives new meaning
about
to throwing a wrench in the works.
Well, and they could, I mean, this is the point where the technology, I mean, we talk about all the incredible technology we have, but they literally can't open the door. And
well, they're still dealing with 8-inch floppy disks,
well,
which,
right.
by the way, are not hackable, which is great.
Yeah, no,
yes.
It was one of the best explanations I have ever heard.
I know.
So you're not on the internet with the missiles.
Right, no.
We only use
a phone line.
A phone line, but we also use, as a phone lines can't be hacked, by the way. Hello?
Yeah, right.
You know, I used to work for a congressman who would start every conversation by saying, hello, J. Edgar. you know. But the floppy disk gets us out of the hacking danger, but probably into some other danger.
Didn't you think the military
danger?
We're getting off into another subject here, but
the
military spokesman, I thought, did a great job.
Oh, you mean the guy?
The guy from the military who was
the
sort
Air
of
Force guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Was sort of explaining as to what was going on.
Yeah.
And she was saying, well, isn't this really serious?
He said,
yes, it is serious. However, you know, this is the way we live. We know how to, like, deal with this.
I didn't find him very convincing at all.
Oh, no, I didn't find him convincing either, but I thought he did a good job given, you know, he was trying to...
Given the fact that his superiors were watching
right.
every night,
right.
every
yes.
word he said, and probably hold him responsible.
I'm surprised they let her in.
Me too.
I'm surprised they let Leslie Stahl in, unless now there's going to be this surge of, okay, we need more money for the military so we can upgrade these facilities.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
see how
exactly.
bad it looked?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
it could
no,
be,
I'm sure that's what
you
it
know,
was.
That's, you know, so.
Good point, Libby.
Yeah, it's just clearly a more spin than we knew what to do with, so.
Yeah. Well, also, maybe, just maybe, a recognition that that not only were we all watching it, but so China and Russia.
Right.
right.
yeah. Scary stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support comes from Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. AshokanCenter.org. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, plastic surgeon offering facial rejuvenation and breast augmentation using patients' own fat cells. Announcing spring open house this Thursday from 5:30 to 7:30. CAPEKplasticsurgery.com. Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996. Mannixmarketing.com. And Oblong Books, presenting Conjunctions, an evening of readings by Benjamin Hale and Bennett Sims, moderated by Conjunctions editor Michaela Morissette. Friday, May 2nd at 7 p.m. in Rhinebeck, oblongbooks.com.
morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel, Libby Post, Ray Graff, and Alan Chartok. And we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and weigh in on us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay, so let us talk about South Korea. The prime minister offered to resign Sunday, taking responsibility for a slew of problems that both enabled and worsened the severity of a ferry sinking that has left more than 300 dead or missing. The position of prime minister in South Korea is largely ceremonial. Power is concentrated around the president. But in the aftermath of the ferry sinking on April 16th, the government has faced withering criticism because of lax safety regulations and a slow rescue response. So now the prime minister says, I'd like to apologize for the mishandling of a slew of problems, from preventive measures before the accident to the government's initial response and follow-up steps after the accident. He said this at a news conference. Meanwhile, the spokesman for the president said that they would accept the resignation, but had not said as of yet of whether Chung Hong-won would actually resign and leave office. So we don't – they would accept it, but he hasn't actually left yet.
Yeah, well, without getting myself into more trouble than I want to, you know, I think that you – in order to understand this, you have to understand the culture of each of these countries, you know, that there are those people who take responsibility. And then the question becomes, did that person, did the prime minister get a call from the president saying, your turn, somebody has to go?
Well, you know. Right, exactly. So you say when you, of what I just read, you have a largely ceremonial office. So we can only assume and extrapolate from that this was not the guy who screwed up that caused this to be.
Well, you know, Joe, it never, that's the beauty of this, of all of this. It never is the guy who screwed up who is the prime resignee.
Right.
It's almost always the head of the company or the head of the place who sometimes, but not always, has to take the responsibility because, after all, everybody works for the president.
So you think it's the president who ultimately is the one who should have taken the fall?
No, I don't pass that kind of judgment because I think, let's say, something bad happens at WAMC. Now, somebody will write a letter saying, yeah, that person should have been watched more carefully, and Alan should resign, and Alan should go, because, you know, his span of control wasn't sufficient to take care of that. Then we here would have to make a point. I remember once, you know, or twice, we've had situations here where somebody has done something that was inappropriate. And in a couple of cases, we fired that person for violating certain norms and procedures, if you know what I mean. That person, you know, left. And people had enough faith in the fact that we had a decent leadership here, and I mean all of us, that they didn't feel that that it was warranted to take it a step further. I think in a society where hundreds of school children, we've been talking about our children and grandchildren and everything else, it's almost unimaginable the grief that is experienced by the people, you know, in that. And sometimes the grief is so great that responsibility has to be placed. And then the argument comes, deservedly or not.
Right. Well, and I think when you look at this particular case, he becomes the fall guy, right? I mean, he becomes the guy who takes the responsibility.
The prime minister.
The prime minister.
Who is, again, largely ceremonial anyway.
And you assume he didn't really have any say in what went on, but somebody has to go. There has to be some symbolism. Somebody has to take responsibility, so you give it to this guy.
Yeah.
There was a line in the famous World War II movie about World War II. I don't remember. It was Tor, or one of them, in which the guy who is the admiral who has screwed it all up, a subordinate says, I take the responsibility for this. And he's clearly going to kill himself over it. And he says, no, only I have to apologize to the emperor. Remember that? Mm. Only I have to apologize to the emperor. And so one person took the responsibility. Mm.
You know, what they should do here, I mean...
Not that all Asian cultures are the same.
No.
You understand?
But there's, from a crisis communications perspective, which is exactly what they're in at the moment, you know, they really should come out now with what they're going to do to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, and this was a dangerous... It was a dangerous boat right. in and a they, dangerous place.
Right, and they haven't done any of that yet. Yeah. They say, we're looking at it, we're going to come up with new... They, you know, it's been a week and a half. They should have already had this stuff done yeah. and out there so that people know that the government is doing its due diligence and make sure something like this never happens again.
But it happens regularly. I mean, we saw it in New York City where... Staten Island ferries. I used to ride them all the mm-hmm. time. I said, how do they do that? How do they get the front of that boat to lock into the thing the way that it does? And everybody assured me it was always okay until it wasn't okay.
Yeah. Right.
And then what? The president should resign?
No. Yeah. No. But this is a little bit different. This is different. This is there were lax controls and regulations over the ferry industry. And nobody was watching what this boat was doing. Nobody was watching that it was top heavy and all kinds of things that were being done to it. And so there needs to be more. I mean, what happened in New York when the ferry hit the wrong place, you know, that was a tragedy also, but it wasn't like to the extent of this with incredible lack of government oversight.
We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We will continue our conversation after this short break. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Libby Post waving to the cameras and to her adoring fans. Ray Graff is with us and Alan Chartok at the head of the roundtable. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And let us first, before we move on to other topics, go to the letters of the day.
Oh, yeah, letters. Yeah, there are letters. There's no question.
Letters.
Lisa G. thinks I talk too much. Walker says, Alan mentioned the role of culture, and that's correct. These are collectivist societies as opposed to our own individualistic society. Shame in letting the people down is very, very strong in Japan, China, and much of Asia. That's not saying that there might not have been strong political pressure as well as bad decisions, but the response of governments, et cetera, can indeed reflect the sense of shame. And let's see, Janeer wrote, I believe the reason Mistal was granted access was because nuclear officers, not just the Air Force, but beginning there, have been caught cheating on their proficiency exams. Obviously, this has been a great embarrassment to the Air Force. This is an attempt to repair their image, and I believe that's it.
Yep. Okay.
We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us talk about the Los Angeles Clippers. Oh, my God. Reacting to recordings of racist remarks attributed to Donald Sterling, the team's owner, took the court for their playoff game on Sunday with the statement, one of both fashion and politics. In a silent sign of solidarity, players shed their warm-up jackets before the game and placed them in a pile at midcourt, revealing red shirts worn inside out to obscure the team's name. And while the Clippers' blue jerseys were worn during the game, each player also wore black socks and black wristbands. The recordings of the racist remarks bounced around the globe Sunday. Viral aftershocks rattling the league's leadership, overshadowing its weekend slate of playoff games, and receiving the attention of President Obama in Malaysia. But, of course, there is a lot to be done here. The comments were originally released by TMZ to have Mr. Sterling that on the tapes you can hear Mr. Sterling arguing with a female friend, criticizing her for posting pictures of herself online with black men, including Magic Johnson. And now the NBA is looking into this. They are investigating the racial remarks, and there is a great deal of outrage in
the world of and the sporting world as well as the team itself.
Now, Joe, I know you're not allowed to hear you use the actual remarks that were allegedly said.
Well, I can actually.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what they were?
Sure. Don't put him. This is, I believe, in regards to Magic Johnson. Don't put him on Instagram for the world to have to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him to my games. Yeah, it bothers me a lot when you want to promo broadcast that you're associating with black people. Do you have to?
Mm-hmm.
And then Massa Sterling. I mean, this really does. I support them and give them food and clothes and cars and houses. Who gives it to them? Does someone else give it to them? Do I know that I have? Who makes the game? Do I make the game or do they make the game? Is there 30 owners that created the league? I mean, he really said.
But wasn't there something about, I don't really remember the whole thing, but wasn't there something about welfare or something like that? But maybe I'm...
I think you're referring to the last quote Libby had just...
Yeah, it's all about, you know, I give them food and clothes and cars and houses. Yeah, yeah.
Without me, they wouldn't.
Right. Yes, right. Massa Sterling, we hear it.
Right. Well, so let's get down to the nitty gritty. It seems to me most of us agree that even if the guy is a blatant racist, and clearly these remarks would indicate that he is, how stupid do you have to be when you're running a team? You have a black manager of the team. You have a team that in a league that is overwhelmingly African American to go out of your way to do this. It comes down to the sin of arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It's that you have so much money. Because money is not limited to the money that he's getting here, but you have so much money that you can do anything you want to do in your own mind, and it's and we've seen it time and again.
Well, I think the question is, what do you do if you're the NBA? Yeah. What do you do? This guy is worth $1 billion+. Even if you levied a record fine, $5, $10, $20 million. It's not that much for him.
And it doesn't really matter.
Well, you got to get rid of him and ban him from the game.
Now, there
forever,
are as I understand it, I'm no expert on the NBA, but there are specific circumstances that would allow the NBA to remove him as an owner. And I believe most of them have to do with
financial stuff,
being debt and right. not being able to pay the bills. So it is very interesting how this plays out and what they, in fact, can do.
And I'm sure they're figuring that out right now. But this is their look. At any time that this is done, it's horrendous and horrible. But for the NBA, you're at your World Series, if you will. We're talking about the NBA playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's the end of the season. This team is in the playoffs. They're playing well, and it puts a black eye on the whole thing for a league that is just starting really to gain traction once again. So I think it'll be very interesting how they play it. And it also seems to me that they have that this is, and Libby, you can talk to this a little bit of the president's comments of what the president have to say and the tone of his remarks, which I think obviously are going to play a role here.
Well, before I say anything about that, I just want to say that this isn't the first time Sterling's been in trouble. You know, in 2009, he had to pay $2.76 million to settle a housing discrimination suit brought by the Justice Department on behalf of African Americans, Latinos, and families with children. And the same year, he was accused of racial discrimination as part of an unsuccessful termination lawsuit filed by the former general manager of the team, Elgin Baylor. But
a great basketball player in his day.
In his day. So he's got a history here. But I think the president, you know, put it best. And I've always thought this, just let people talk and they'll sink the ship. He said, when ignorant folks want to advertise their ignorance, you really don't have to do anything. Just let them talk. And it's absolutely true because he's sinking his own ship.
But he also talked in the past, the president, about post-racial society. This is anything but post-racial. We may have a black president.
I think there's some of us who would like to think we're in a post-racial society, but the fact that we elected a black president has heightened the amount of racism.
That's true.
Anti-Semitism, all the stuff that's gone on in this country. The Tea Party was a direct response to electing a black president. The rhetoric that we're seeing coming out of the right is so much more racist than it has been before. So we're not in a post-racial, we're in the midst of a racist
society. Well, and then it gets really complicated, as we've indicated, because you get the NAACP in the region offering him an award. Now, how does that happen, considering this background?
Mm-hmm. Well, they might have thought that he had atoned for his sins of 2009 and that he's been giving money and, you know, doing things and on the outside saying all the right things. Right. Not going to having drinks with anybody, but on the outside doing the right thing. And then this comes out, you know, and now they've pulled it.
And you know what's interesting, Libby? I think everything you've said is really good. But what's really interesting is that this is just something that is so different. You really wonder. I just can't get it through. I'm sorry, but I can't get it through my head. How incredibly stupid or arrogant somebody can be.
Money, power.
It's all about money.
Contempt.
It's all about money.
Yes.
Well, and also you have, he is, I don't know, will this get me in trouble? Maybe. He's 80 years old, and or we believe, and talking to a woman who's believed to be...
His girlfriend.
And meanwhile, the woman that he's been married to for 50 years is sitting courtside, and unaware of the technology that is available to be able to.
Oh, is that how they got it?
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Somebody tapped the phone.
Yeah, well, they think that maybe the
or something.
Yeah,
something. Somebody did something to record the conversation,
and they had it, and they just emailed it to everybody.
Wow.
So,
which,
you know,
by the way, opens whoever did that to some legal action.
Well, sure.
It's against California law. Yeah, you have to, the person who's being recorded has to know.
Yeah. I don't think that'll be the headline, though.
No. No.
Yeah, well, it also teaches everybody something, no matter, you know.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Especially to your mistress.
That's right. Well, that's true, too, because you never know.
To live by,
a woman
Joe.
Scorned.
Didn't somebody tell me that the wife is suing the mistress?
Yes, like the wife is suing the mistress for all the gifts that he had given.
Uh-huh.
And she wants all the money back.
And, you know.
It is a tangled web.
Right.
Indeed.
Stupid. Stupid.
Well, the owners,
I'm glad
as
I'm
I understand it, the owners could all get together and just say, would you please just sell?
Yes.
So I think that may be a way.
And what if he says no?
Yeah, he could.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if he says no,
although it could
be
the alimony payment to the wife.
I mean,
may get the team.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. I mean, if there's no mechanism within the NBA to throw him out because of this, and he says no, they will just ostracize him. And you know, I could see. When the draft comes and all that sort of stuff, people cherry picking his players and making sure he has going back to having a mediocre team, and you know, so we'll see what happens.
Just for the record, they lost the game.
They did, huh?
Yes,
It's sort of too bad, you know, because the guy shouldn't have been right.
But you know, they got a lot on their minds too. But anyway, so that's that story. We will continue with other stories when we come back. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Pure Catskills, supporting local farm, food, and wood businesses, clean water, and working landscapes throughout the Catskills region. PureCatskills.com. William Pitt, Sotheby's International Realty, a real estate firm serving the Berkshire region with local representatives and global connections. WilliamPitt.com for listings. And Joyelle's Jewelers, Delmar, New York, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry, and gifts. Joyelle'sJewelers.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this morning and for this Monday morning. We welcome you, Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Libby Post, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Pope Francis made history on Sunday, elevating to sainthood Pope John the 23rd and John Paul II, two of the most famous papal predecessors of his most famous papal predecessors, in a ceremony bearing themes of hope and reconciliation for the world's 1 billion Roman Catholics. Crowds filled St. Peter's Square and were really across Rome as the elaborate mass took place. It was a joint canonization and portrayed the two popes as men of courage who shared a place in history. They were priests, bishops, and popes of the 20th century. He said in his homily, they lived through the tragic events of that century, but they were not overwhelmed by them. For them, God was more powerful. Faith was more powerful. Never before had two popes been canonized at the same time, and the pairing attracted large, joyous crowds. With many people waving flags or banners, Francis declared the two men saints shortly after the Mass began, a pronouncement greeting with rising applause from the square and followed by the presentation of relics linked to the two new saints. I think it's very interesting, the joint canonization. Obviously, there's some politics to this. John the 23rd, a hero to many liberal Catholics for his Second Vatican Council of the early 1960s, which sought to open the church to the modern era. Pope John Paul II, a hero to many conservative Catholics, not only for his anti-communist heroism and personal charisma, but also because of his resistance to liberalizing elements of the church. So try to figure that out.
Figure what out?
Go, gang.
Well, you have both. You have one being canonized for being liberal, and you have another one being canonized for being conservative.
But I think he was supposed to do some kind of
miracle. Well, yeah, there's the miracle. And I'll just say, my issue is, and I think that a lot of this comes way too soon. I think that the time must pass. I think we look at this as something that. That should be done over a long period of time and be able to put it in context. To me, there are still great questions when it comes to Pope John Paul II with the scandal of the Catholic Church. There are many questions that still need to be answered. As to Libby's point about you know, overall miracles, you know, I think that we have to look at what the overall context is, and I think there's some great questions there, and that have to be answered and looked at. But I guess when you get down to it, it's politics.
Well, I think it is. I think this particular pope, who I so admire, is trying to send a signal about being a healer and trying to bring people together. And what he was looking at is bringing the disparate ends of his constituency into the same place. And I suppose you have to admire that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think...
Did I say what you just said? Probably.
No. I think you were making the point of Pope Francis.
Exactly, what he's trying to do here, yeah.
Yeah, of trying to bring the various factions of the Catholic Church together. And I think
and
that
put
is,
some of the other stuff behind.
Right, and to move on. I don't know if you have to do that through a canonization, but that's, you know, a personal... Well... It's a question.
The Pope must have reasons besides the obvious political and PR move. It's not like bestowing an honorary degree, becoming a saint. There's much more of a process.
Maybe getting
to it.
More like that. No.
Well, that's what
Mother Teresa still hasn't become a saint.
Is that true?
Yeah, I just looked at it. Yeah, I wanted to make sure I was right before I said it. You know, one article said, you know, two for the popes and zero for the nuns. I mean, Mother Teresa's got shafted. So, you know, she still hasn't got... That's
print
what
that headline.
Said. Right, I know. She still hasn't been made a saint. And, you know, where's the miracles? You know, I grew up... You know, we're Jewish. I'm Jewish. Alan's Jewish. You know, I grew up thinking you know, I was told, oh, to become a saint, you have to perform a miracle, you know, walk on water, heal the sick, whatever it was. And that's not happening here. You know, is it a miracle? Some might think it's a miracle to do political action. Yes, you know. But was it a miracle to open the church up to more liberal perspective? Maybe. Was it a miracle to cover up years of sexual abuse of children? No. Was it a miracle to put somebody in the office of the propagation of the faith who became Pope Benedict to clamp down on any liberal thought and any opening of the church? No.
And well, but they didn't make him a saint.
No, thank. And he's still alive.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah,
can't.
Can't do
but,
those.
But you know, this. I wrote a piece when John Paul II died, and I recognized that he did a lot of good things. But when it came to this sexual abuse scandal, he just put it under the rug.
Nick Squires, who was a Vatican writer for The Telegraph, wrote and said, Pope John Paul II should not be made a saint this weekend because of his abject failure to bring to justice sexually abusive priests and the bishops who covered up their crimes. Victims of clerical sex abuse said today the late Polish pontiff could have prevented thousands of children from being raped by pedophile priests, but instead chose to ignore the scandal in the interest of protecting the image of the Catholic Church. Victims from three continents said on the eve of his canonization, and again, I whether guilty as charged or not, I don't know, but it does seem to me that there has to be some sort of context. And back to Alan's earlier point of, you know, are we doing all of this a little bit too soon, where we don't let it play mm-hmm. out in the way that we. The way that we used to. I know, Alan, we have some letters to wrap up the
program. We do,
the
quickly. Thomas writes, in regards to Mr. Sterling, the NBA should allow all of Mr. Sterling's players and management to opt out of their contracts with severance pay. Also, they should remove his team and any future team he would own from the association and ban him from all games. That sounds fair to me. Thomas wrote that. And let's see, Saul said, it was not all that long ago that a cruise boat on Lake George sank and took a number of lives. Unregulated or poorly regulated business happens everywhere. However, the blame really lies with the owners and operators of the boats. It is not possible to fully regulate all business. The operators and have to take the primary responsibility. Michael says he's right at home in the league filled with criminals, wife beaters, racists. It's ironic they are so offended by his words. Wow.
Well, I don't know about
the management of WMC does not. We just read the letters. We don't write them all.
We don't write any of them.
Yeah.
You might want to just slick up that phrase a little bit from the legal department for the next time we read it. But we get your point.
We are out of time. Thank everyone for writing in. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Libby, Ray, Alan, thank you, and we'll continue after the short break.